went awry?
I don't think I was particularly traumatized.
Wow. You went, like, you got hit by lightning.
Like, lightning's not personal. The lightning wasn't like, Angela, you're ugly.
When nature, fate, or the federal government mess with your plans, that's this week.
Tonight at 6 on Radio Catskill.
I'm Mary Louise Kelly. Another way to help us bring you the news is donate a vehicle you don't need. Car, truck, motorcycle. You can donate to this station and it could mean hundreds of dollars of support. Thanks.
We accept any vehicle, running or not. Donate your car, boat, or motorcycle at WJFFradio.org.
Next time on City Arts and Lectures, we'll rebroadcast a 2019 conversation with Jeff Tweedy, founder of the seminal alt-country band Wilco. He'll talk to writer George Saunders about making music and his path to recovery. That's next time on City Arts and Lectures on this public radio station.
City Arts and Lectures, Sunday afternoon at 4 on Radio Catskill.
Good morning. Welcome to Catskill Character. I'm Donna Fellenberg, and joining me today is Alexis Chirac, artist, graphic designer, and much more. Like so many artists, Alexis, a resident of Calicoon, New York, has done many different things over the years, including set designer, set builder, book designer, web designer. You get the picture. Currently, she's been doing echo prints on textiles and paper, which she will tell us about in the second half of the show. But in the first half of the show, we'll explore what it's like when a young child who is artistic from an early age just doesn't feel at home where they're living, isn't especially close with their family, just doesn't fit in, actually doesn't want to. Like Alexis, these children find their tribe at a different stage of life. Let's find out how Alexis dealt with that. Here we go. Alexis, welcome to Catskill Character. I'm so happy to have you on today.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
You know, I have to tell you, when we first spoke, I was fascinated by your childhood. Let's tell the listener about those early years.
Okay. Did I tell you I was born in Oklahoma? My dad was in the Army and my mom was there too. It would have been hard for me to be there without her. I was only there for 4 months and then we drove back to Brooklyn where we lived in a few different apartments for like 8 years.
And what were those 8 years like?
The last apartment, I think school was pretty close by so we could walk to school. My brother's a year younger, so we'd go together. And we had best friends that we would get together with after school. Two sisters, they were my age and my brother's age. My mom and their mom were also really good friends. So we all hung out after school at the McGinnis's. It was really fun. Mm-hmm. I remember their house. They lived in a house where we lived in an apartment. I really liked Brooklyn. And, you know, we were close to the grandparents, take Sunday drives to see the grandparents. There are certain things in my childhood I only remember through photographs. And there is a photograph of my brother. The building had a courtyard. Mm-hmm. And there's a photo of him. He climbed up a tree. Then one day he fell out of. I just remember this tree in this courtyard. I don't know. I think because my brother and I were so close in age, we were very competitive and we would fight a lot. So whenever my parents would go away for a weekend or something, they would split us up. And I would go to my father's parents' house and my brother would go to my mother's parents' house. So a lot of my early memories are about my grandparents also. So then we moved, the big move, we moved to Long Island.
Right. Well, I was going to say, in Brooklyn, things were going fine. But then when you were 8 years old, your parents picked you up and moved you to Long Island, which did not go down well for you.
No. Number one, I seem to be allergic to the place. I mean, I suddenly had allergies. I already had allergies, but they were just much worse on Long Island. I don't know. From the minute we moved to Long Island, I was like, I can't wait to move to Manhattan. I can't wait to be out of here. At the time, it was pretty rural. You couldn't go anyplace without a car. So we were stuck at home unless my parents took us someplace. Eventually, we got bicycles. Then I would go everywhere. And when I was old enough to get on the bus and go to Jones Beach, I think that was my favorite time on Long Island, going to Jones Beach.
Well, you never found your people on Long Island. I mean, I think that was an important thing. You said that when you moved, you realized that you would lose your freedom.
So, yeah.
And that's a pretty heavy thing for an 8-year-old to realize.
I was precocious.
This is so interesting because, you know, I wonder, is it all in the DNA? I mean, your dad was a jeweler and a trumpet player, right? Seemingly artistic like you. He was semi-interested in what you were doing, but...
He just wasn't home a lot. He was having too much fun playing in bands, wedding bands on the weekends or weddings, bar mitzvahs. You know, he was hanging out with the guys.
You bought a guitar and you taught yourself to play, and your father didn't really get involved, even though he was a musician.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the guitar for me was, it was a way to escape. I felt like my childhood was so boring. So I had my guitar, which I would entertain myself for hours. I had my whatever art I was doing. Early on, I think it was sculpting animals out of clay. I was very industrious as a kid. I just was always checking out new things. I was also into a lot of crafts. And I remember one thing that really started fascinating me. I started painting in gouache on rice paper.
What's gouache?
Gouache is sort of like an opaque watercolor. I don't know the technical term for it, but it's a water-based pigment and it's opaque.
Okay.
And but then I would stitch on the rice paper in gold thread.
Ooh.
Like I would outline things. I mean, so I was that kind of kid. I was always doing something interesting.
Mm. You
know, whatever I came across, I would try. I would try anything. So.
Okay. Well, that's fantastic. And we've established that your father was, you know, he wasn't around really that much to kind of encourage your artistic leanings. What I was wondering about your mother. Did she encourage you, or did she take an active role in your becoming an artist?
I remember whenever we were at a party or a gathering, my mom would say things about me. My daughter's doing this. But in the house, I didn't know she was even aware of what I was doing.
Ah.
She was very much into her garden and decorating her house and cooking big family dinners. She came from a big family. That's what she was doing. My art was really kind of personal. It was actually a way for me, like my guitar, to keep myself busy and out of trouble.
Well, let's not forget, though, you did have that uncle that lived in Rockport, Massachusetts, who had a beautiful house by the water, and he had a gallery. What did you do when you went up there to visit him?
Those were great times. So he had two daughters who were younger than my brother and I. My parents would take us up. We'd stay at his house. I think it was a salt box. Mm. And it had this great big sunroom in the front that was full of art supplies, just so many art supplies and all sorts of things from nature. And we would paint pine cones and acorns. And we were very busy in that front room. It was the best time. I loved it up there. Rockport is, I haven't been there in years, but it was a very beautiful place at the time. But he was a very good watercolorist. He had a good following.
I'm sorry. I just wondered if he seemed aware of the fact that you were artistic.
Oh, God, yes. Oh, yeah. He would coach me a little. So he was kind of my mentor. Once I was aware of watercolor, I wasn't very good. I wasn't good at all, but he would coach me. He would give me some pointers, but he was more interested in me not copying. Like I would copy from photographs. That was what I would do. And he's like, why don't you just work from your head? Like, okay, that sounds like more fun.
Wow. That's really important.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I think that was the most important thing he ever said to me. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So he taught me how to be creative and how to just trust myself.
Getting back to your time on Long Island, you did go back to the city sometimes when your father would take you to work with him. And I was wondering, what did you do all day while he was working?
Well, actually, my mom took us.
Oh, your mom took you.
Yeah, we would, and he would he would meet us for lunch, and then we'd all go out afterwards. I was in his shop some, but no, my mom would take us into the city and we'd go shopping. We'd get our haircut at Best and Company, and I will never forget that place. And I loved going into the city. I just
Yeah.
loved it. No, I mean, we would do, sometimes we'd do special things, but just going to Horn and Hardit, that was
Oh,
enough
yeah.
for me.
These are very similar things that I did because, I told you I lived on Long Island and we went to Best in Company. Do you remember when you went to the shoe department? They had those, well, you're younger than me. Maybe they didn't have them by the time you came along, but they x-rayed your feet.
X-ray, no,
Yeah, you
really.
put your little feet in this compartment and they would x-ray your feet. Not just take the size of your shoe,
Yeah,
but x-ray
cool.
your feet. Yeah, it was very cool.
The
Anyway.
other thing I forgot, that my other favorite place was Macy's. We went to Macy's a lot and we'd go, and I don't remember my brother being there. I feel like it was just me and my mom. We would go up to the top floor. There was a cafeteria that was just like a snake of a counter that was a snake kind of thing. It's been in movies. If I thought long enough, I'd remember. And we would just sit at this counter and get tea and English muffins with
Oh,
Dave. That was it. It was our afternoon tea.
very nice.
Yeah. That was fun. I
Well,
wonder if that's still there. Anyway, sorry.
after you graduated from high school, you went to Pratt Institute in New York City, of course. And although you had to commute the first 3 years, but
Yeah.
that fourth year, hallelujah, you got an apartment, found your tribe, and you lived in the city after that for 15 years. That must have been such a relief to you.
Ah, it was. It was. I mean, going to Pratt, and hanging out with other art students was so eye-opening. I was like, oh, now I understand why I was so unhappy on Long Island. But yeah, once I moved in with a friend in Manhattan, that was my senior year. We had a great year, and then getting my own place, and all, I loved being in Manhattan. I was like, I'm finally home. I'm finally home.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, even with all the bad stuff that would happen, and being dirt poor in the beginning, I didn't
Doesn't
care.
matter.
No, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. It was like just walking the streets. That
Yeah.
sounds bad, doesn't it?
No. I know you're walking the streets on your own turf.
Yeah, just like people watching and
Yeah. Well, we're going to end the first half on a very up note, aren't we?
Yes.
And we're going to take a break here. Let's do that. And when we come back, we'll discuss your life as an artist. You are tuned in to Catskill Character on Radio Catskill with me, your host, Donna Fehlenberg, and my guest, the artist Alexis Chirac of Calico, New York. We'll be right back, so stay tuned.
Next time on the New Yorker Radio Hour, Anna Wintour on 37 years running Vogue.
Well, I think fashion is always important. It's a question of self-expression. And forgive me, David, but how boring would it be if everybody was just wearing a dark suit and a white shirt all the time?
Anna Wintour joins me next time on the New Yorker Radio Hour. Listen Sunday at 6 for the New Yorker Radio Hour on Radio Catskill.
On last week's Wait, Wait!, Tom Baudette said he understood why Cracker Barrel gave in and went back to their old logo.
It's one thing like, oh, God, we could get boycotted by, like 35% of the nation, but what they really don't want is National Guard in their gift shop.
That's true. And Peter Sagal, join us as we ask musician Renee Rapp what her favorite chain restaurant is. Join us for the news quiz from NPR.
Sunday morning at 10 on Radio Catskill.
Listening to this station is like connecting with a good friend.
So good to be with you here.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for spending the morning with us.
Good to have you here.
We're so glad to have you. Keep our connection strong with a donation today, and thank you.
Make your donation now at wjffradio.org.
Welcome back to Catskill Character. I'm Donna Fellenberg, and I've been speaking with the artist and creative Alexis Sirach of Calico, New York. In the first half of the show, Alexis spoke about her childhood and the kind of stranger in a strange land she felt through most of it after she moved from Brooklyn at age 8 to Long Island. She was a very creative child, and aside from an uncle who lived in and owned a gallery in Rockport, Massachusetts, there really wasn't anyone in her family who she could, like, completely relate to. Although her father was a musician, she had to teach herself to play the guitar. Alexis told us how all of that changed when she attended Pratt Institute in New York City, which is self-described as providing the creative leaders of tomorrow the knowledge and experience to make a better world. Kind of lofty, but you know. In the second half of the show, we're going to talk about what Alexis did after college, her art, and the show she has coming up at Domesticities in Youngsville. So here we go. Alexis, as we said, the world really opened up for you when you went to Pratt. Especially that last year when you finally got an apartment, you stopped commuting, and you were able to live in the city.
That first year in Manhattan, we were living uptown, 102nd and West End. This is a long time ago, and it was scary up there, you know, but that's what my friend and I could afford, so that's where we were. But that didn't, we just laughed at it. We just had so much fun. It was all entertaining, no matter what.
So different from Long Island.
Yes.
Well, unfortunately, as it's prone to do, reality kicked in after you graduated from Pratt, and you realized you had to get a job to support yourself, although you had been working all through college because you put yourself through college. What kinds of things did you do when you entered the real adult world?
Okay, so at first, I have to say, I had this fantasy, not based in reality at all. And I suppose if I was a different kind of person, maybe I could have made it happen. But I went to school for illustration. So I came out with an illustration portfolio. I had two very distinct styles. And I started going on interviews. And I just kept getting rejected and rejected and rejected. And after a while, I think I just have to get a real job. Not that illustrating wouldn't have been a real job. But I always looked to my uncle. I was going to have the kind of life he had. He worked at McCall's as a fashion illustrator before he went off to Rockport. Yeah, I'm going to do that. And then, you know, anyway, so I had to get a real job. And I ended up, my first job, I worked for a printing company, and they were all really nice people. I worked in the art department. I learned a lot about printing, which was fascinating. I would hang out in the shop and talk to the printers, and I really liked that job. And I was there 2 years, 3 years, I don't know. But after that, I was just picking up odd jobs here and there as a freelancer. I started freelancing very young, and I had a few clients, and they were all pleased. So I did that for years. And then, I don't know.
Well, you got married.
Then I was just going to say, then I got married. There was that. I got married right after I landed my first job at a graphic design firm. Don't know how I got that. But anyway, I was so thrilled. They were on Madison Avenue. It was just like, I was like, I have arrived. And I had been living with my to-be husband for a couple of years already. When Jeff and I first got together, he had a band that I wanted to be in. And he was like, there's no girls in this band. Then he had another band. And then I finally got to be in the band. I was a backup singer with another woman. We were the Ernettes. Ernie and the Imports was the name of the band. Anyway, we had a lot of fun. He was teaching tennis and I had a full-time job. But after we got married, I said, I don't know if I can keep doing this band thing. And he kind of agreed. And then he started a theater company. From the very beginning of our relationship, we were always working together. We got along very well creatively. So we formed this theater company. I became co-artistic director. I was the set designer. and the costume designer until we could afford to hire someone to do that. And we had a theater off Broadway. I used to say, oh, I work during the day. My hobby at night is theater, because I go to the theater at 7, 8 o'clock at night and work till 2 in the morning and then go home, sleep a few hours and then start all over. In all that time, my sets were my art. In some ways, I kind of went away from my art. It was okay. My job was creative and my sets were not typical theater sets. I would always say that my sets were trying to understand the characters, like how they would see their world. So I got to have a lot of fun with that. We did good theater together. We did it for 5 years.
Didn't you tell me that he decided he wanted to go to LA?
Yes. And that's when things went awry.
Yeah.
So he wanted to go back to school for film. And originally I was going with him. But then one day I just was like, you know, I want to stay here. I don't want to leave my job. I don't want to leave my friends. And he wasn't interested in doing it bi-coastal. That's how we kind of split up.
Well, I'm sorry that that didn't work out, but it sounds like you got a lot of great experience from that whole relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
It wasn't a total loss, as they say.
No.
You did land an important job at Oxford University Press. What made that job so important?
I've now moved out of the city. I'm now in Orange County along the Hudson River. I had been working with a gentleman as his sort of project manager, and it was a full-time gig, but I got to work out of my house, which was great. But that came to an end, and I was like, oh, what am I going to do? A friend had a job at Oxford that she hated, and one day said, do you want it? And I was like, yes, I do. And it was like minimum wage, but I got my foot in the door of publishing. Even though the job was rudimentary, I spent the rest of the time talking to people and understanding what their role was at the company and, you know, how things worked in publishing. So it was a great 6 months of education. And then when I went for my first interview to become a book designer, the creative director was so impressed that I had worked at Oxford, and he knew the design firm I had been with. And he was like, yeah, why not? I knew I was going to get the job. Book publishing, designing books was so much fun. I was designing books. I moved up here.
Well, what got you to move up here?
So at this firm, I met Jane Blake, who I know a lot of people know. We kind of all sat at this big table. So we were all chatting and someone said, Jane, where do you live? And she goes, I live in Sullivan County. And I said, that's where I want to move. Sullivan County at the time was very reasonably priced. And I was like, I think I can afford this. And she invited me up one January day and said, if you like it in the winter, you will love it in the summer. That's how it happened. We went to a realtor that very day. We ate at Dave's Big Eddie. Yeah, I still miss that place. 8 months later, I bought a house.
Before we talk about your show at Domesticities, I want you to talk to the listener about something that you're doing that they're going to see there. It's called echo printing. What is that exactly?
Echo printing, it's actually an old process that has become repopularized in the last 15 years. It's a way to extract the tannins from leaves and some flowers that you can then get a print on fabric or paper. So it's a direct contact print, one-time print, and it's kind of involved. There's some chemistry. You have to add different elements. And the minute I learned up in Gunkwit, Maine, I was like, oh my God, this is so fabulous.
Do you do prints from things from your garden?
I've made it my goal to have most of the plants in my garden, with the exception of some big trees that I just don't have the room for. Now I just go around my garden and I clip things. It's much less time consuming, that part. Mm. And it's kind of fun that it's right from my garden.
Oh, yeah. That's wonderful. So you do have a show. The reception is going to be tomorrow. It's been at Ann Hart's wonderfully eclectic shop. If people don't know it, they should get there. It's
Absolutely.
Called Domesticities and Cutting Garden. So you can actually go to the shop, but she has a huge garden on the side and you can cut your own bouquets. Yeah. It's fabulous. Yeah.
I was printing silk scarves. I had known Anne for a few years because the first time I went into a store, I was just like, oh, this is my kind of woman. We like the same kind of books. She likes jigsaw puzzles. So do I. We just have the same kind of sensibility to design. Mm-hmm. So I decided that she would be the first person I'd ask to sell my scarves. She's so enthusiastic always. Yeah, of course. They're lovely. They're beautiful. Yeah. So I've been selling my scarves there for years now. And I have a whole new batch that I just delivered last week for the time for the show. So I've done a bunch of echo prints on paper and I draw over them with pastels. I've been doing this for a while now. I've had a bunch of shows with this kind of work, but this is all work I've done in the last few months. It's been an interesting journey. I try to go into my studio with like a plan or a concept. In the end, I just go off into some zone and things just happen.
But you said you rely on magic, so maybe that's the magic of it.
These echo prints that I draw on, it's kind of a conversation. I've got this print. Some of it is very bold and vivid, and some of it is just like a wisp of a shape or a color. And I just work with it, and they always surprise me in the end. I did not know this is where I was going. I don't think it's lack of discipline. I just let go of everything and just see what happens.
Well, I'm really excited to go tomorrow to the reception, but I don't want to forget to mention that you are a web designer. And I know from personal experience, because you designed and worked with my husband, Bill Fellenberg, on his website, sayonaracowboy.com. I know how gifted you are and how available you are to your clients. Yeah. What is your website for that?
My website is Siroc Design, SIROC design.com. But you know, I always say my clients make me look good. For me, it's all about collaboration. You know, working with Bill was a total joy. And I remember the first thing I presented to him, he was like, well, it's not really what I had in mind. And I'm like, you know, when you're first getting to know someone, it's always like, I wonder what they want. And then he said something, I went, oh, okay, I know what to do. And then he loved what I did.
Oh, that's great. I just want to thank you so much for joining me today. I'm going to see you tomorrow from 2 to 4 at your opening reception at Domesticities in Youngsville, New York. Thank you so much for joining
me. Thank you for inviting me. It's been fun.
This has been Catskill Character on Radio Catskill. I'm Donna Fellenberg, and my guest today has been the Calicoon artist, Alexis Siroc. Alexis's website is SIROC design, all one word, lowercase.com. Catskill Character is on every Saturday at 10:30, except the last Saturday of the month when Greg Triggs brings us Travels with Triggs. Please join us then to meet more fascinating characters of the Catskills and beyond. I'm Donna Fellenberg. Thanks so much for listening.
Support comes from the Wayne County Farmers Market, selling local produce, baked goods, and so much more. Saturdays 9:30 to 12:30 in front of Dave's Super Duper Supermarket, 200 Willow Avenue, Honesdale. More information on Facebook and PoconoMountains.com/Honesdale/events. And from the Cooperage Project, dedicated to building community through performance, learning, markets, and good times. TheCooperageProject.org.
On this week's On the Media, news outlets are falling for the president's justifications as he threatens to send troops to Chicago and other blue cities.
This isn't about crime. That's not what Donald Trump is doing. He's seizing power.
Don't miss this week's On the Media from WNYC.
Saturday afternoon at 4 on Radio Catskill.
The 5th annual Catskills Conductors Clam Bake benefiting Radio Catskill is Sunday, noon to 7 at the Smoke Joint in Livingston Manor, featuring a clam bake, shrimp boils, and barbecue. Plus, an all-day Battle of the Bands and a 50-50 raffle with proceeds benefiting Radio Catskills. The 5th Annual Catskills Conductors Clam Bake this Sunday. More information at CatskillsClamBake.com and WJFFRadio.org.
WJFF Jeffersonville, this is Radio Catskill. Local news, culture, and NPR.